day with a smile on your lips, you feel a little bit tired.
Welcome in. It's a fresh episode of Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams is here on this Friday morning. It's a coffee cast. Cheers to you, Danny. I see you got ice there. I've got a nice hot coffee here. So we're coming down both sides of the aisle.
I am just about to make the switch to hot coffee. I'm an iced coffee nut. I love my cold brew. But it's not quite cold enough out there yet to get me drinking hot coffee in the mornings. But I've had a few hot coffees. It's a gradual process.
Yeah, I am at that moment as well. I didn't get the warm coffee today because I thought it was cold outside and it was time. I just felt like on a Friday morning before an episode, I wanted to make sure to get out there and get some of the good stuff from our friends at Summit Coffee. And by the way, this is not a paid endorsement. Huge fan of Summit Coffee, and props to Summit Coffee for stepping up to support the Carolina Ascent along with Hopfly as well. Summit Coffee doing a lot for soccer in this community. If you don't know it, now you do.
I love Summit Coffee. I have one almost every day at work. I'm not in the office today, so I hit the Waterbean Coffee, another local shop that's close to my house. But keep it local. However you go, don't go to Starbucks, folks. Keep it local.
Yeah, it's one of those things for sure. There's a lot of coffee shops in town. Almost as many breweries as coffee shops in town, for sure. So make sure you keep it local. So,
Johnny, I thought you just got the hot coffee because you wanted to come in hot on Charlotte FC and how poorly, piss poorly this team is playing. Might as well start getting the body talk out there early as well.
Well, Dean Smith, he had a press conference this morning, and you were there asking questions, and I know some other folks in the media as well. I was wondering if you were the only one going to show up today to ask questions based on the lack of coverage his team gets here in town locally. But no, seriously, shout out to Carol Walton of Football Friday, the newsletter by Carol Walton. She does a great job. She was at the press conference this morning, Danny, right? Steve Goldberg was at the press conference as well. Will Pelagic, of course, the voice of Charlotte FC on the radio. He was there. And who else did I miss?
I would call Willie P the voice of Charlotte FC. I would call Steve Goldberg the conscience of soccer in the city of Charlotte, and he was definitely there. Carol from the Ledger was crushing it, and Nick Finelli of the Charlotte FC podcast was also there. Nick didn't ask any questions, but I saw him dutifully taking notes, and he's probably going to have some coverage coming out of that as well. We've got some clips that we're going to play on this episode. This is going to be on audio and video feeds. I'll also post a few of these clips on our social media threads and Twitter channels and stuff like that. So we get a little bit of everything, and you'll get to see me turning the screws on old Dino. I asked him what I thought was, for this market, counts as a tough question. So we'll get to that in a little bit here.
Yeah, I think I want to lead with that tough question. But before we get to that, the reason why I wanted to mention and give a shout out to all the folks that were at the press conference this morning, it's a critical time in Charlotte FC season right now. The team is struggling. There's no doubt about that. But the team still remains in the playoff picture. And sometimes in soccer, if you can flip the switch and catch a good run of form, things can change quickly. I'm not predicting that that's going to happen. I'm just saying that that could be a possible scenario as the season rolls on. The problem is, as you can tell, there's not one legitimate, well, that's not true. I shouldn't say it that way. There's not one, let's call it traditional news outlet that gives a flying fuck. There's just not one, okay? The Panthers have started, and there's, count it, 20, 30 people from local television stations, from local newspapers, all covering the Carolina Panthers and Dave Canales' decision to sit Bryce Young. And we're talking about a Panthers team that is, like, legitimately the laughingstock of the NFL, the laughingstock of professional football on planet Earth, okay? That's the way I put it when it comes to the Panthers. Charlotte FC is actually, in its first 3 years of existence, bucked the trend that is Charlotte sports just being absolutely horrible. Charlotte FC makes the playoffs last season. They hire a manager who with some serious credentials, Danny Brams. They're heading into this final season. And there's three games left on the schedule. And unfortunately, it just feels like nobody gives a shit. And it's why you and I are here this morning doing an episode for the fan base, for the people that do care about this club and want to have real conversations about, for my money, what has been the most entertaining show in town in the last 2 or 3 years here, considering the Panthers have been horrible. So I just wanted to start there and just say how disappointed I am as someone who's been in sports media my entire career, somebody who's a journalist, you know, somebody who works with you, who's doing the job on SEC Network covering college football. At what point, Danny, can this team become actual news in this city?
I think it has to take a run to the championship. I think it's, you know, we all, as fans, we want trophies. And I think to get the legacy media, your Charlotte Observers, if you will, to start paying attention, it's going to take trophies as well.
You remember how many people were at the press conference when Dean Smith got the job?
Yeah.
And how many people, all you had to do was log into Zoom at 8:30 this morning to talk to him. It wasn't, yeah. There wasn't even you didn't even have to make an effort to get on Zoom this morning to talk to Dean Smith about what is the most critical stretch that you could argue in Charlotte FC history.
Yeah. And it took me one click to get in there. I was there early. I was the first one there. Shout out to, you know, the team media office does a lot of work to make this team accessible, you know, like, we'll give them shit at times for being a little bit too spin happy. And I went off on social media after the loss on Wednesday, and I was responding to the official account like, you know, good luck coming up with some distraction content tomorrow. You know, I'll cop to that. I'm not like the nicest guy in the world sometimes.
Well, that's part of the job. That is part of the job.
But shout out to them for creating the accessibility and giving us the opportunity to spout off in those ways. That not all clubs and not all teams in any sports would do that. I certainly don't think that the Panthers are inviting fan media, you know, in any meaningful form to come watch the Dave Canales press conference. It's like, you got to sell it, you know. Maybe there's more than I realized. I don't pay that much attention to the Panthers personally, but I got to shout out this club for putting itself out there. And I'm with you, Johnny. More fan media, more legacy media, more alternative media, and more people need to be taking advantage.
There's only one person in this city that's holding this team accountable, and it's the person that I'm talking to right now. It's a great question that you asked this morning, and I'm just going to lead with that, Danny. I'm going to play this. It's something that I've said on the show. It's something that I've talked to a lot of TIFOs on the show, our tremendous friends of the show, out whether we're hanging at Hot Fly Brewery, whether we're uptown in the French Quarter. I'm starting to hear some things from the fan base about how this team is – somewhat unwatchable, Danny, and I give you major props for asking this question.
It's one thing to have a bad result, obviously, but it's another thing from my fans' perspective and fans I talk to and go to games with to play boring. What's a reaction that you have to hearing that the team is just boring and it's a chore for us as fans to show up and watch this team play the way they play right now?
Well, that's the first time I've heard you say that, to be honest. So I haven't heard it. That's the first time I've heard it. Listen, that's one thing we don't want to be, that's for sure. You know, we want to be an aggressive attacking team. You need the players to be performing well to do that. But we also need to be hard to beat. We need to know where we're at as a team. When I first came in here, I told you right from the start that we needed to be a mid-block team. We haven't got the players that are going to go and open people up. Still are that at the moment. We need space to run into. We need grass to run into. But we need to be solid and hard to beat first and foremost.
Great question, Danny. You're the one that asked it, so the floor is yours. What's your response?
Boring, Charlotte. My response to Dean's response there is, yeah, we're going to be boring. We're going to continue to be boring because that's how I know how to win with these players. Dean Smith had a reputation for being very unboring when he came across the pond. I've said before that I had friends in Europe, European friends who follow the game closely over there, who said, oh, wow, Dean Smith, great. You guys will be fun to watch, but you might give up a ton of goals. It's been the total opposite because Dean has come in and, contrary to his reputation, has played a very pragmatic style and just tried to be focused on being hard to beat. When you say we need to be hard to beat, that means we need to slow the game down and be a slog and, you know, hurt, you know, be not taking less risks and more conservative. And that's what we've seen. That's what we've gotten. It is at times hard to watch, and it's a little easier to watch when you're winning. That's why at the start of the season, it was a little easier to forgive. And it's like, hey, we're doing what we need to do because we can set up in a defensive structure and try to hit them on the break. And when you're hitting them on the break, it works pretty well. And you're like, okay, hey, I didn't have, you know, my mind blown. I didn't have my eyes set on fire watching that match, but we got the result and there was a couple nice moments. But yeah, it's tough. It's the age old dilemma. Like, would you rather win, you know, conservatively or lose spectacularly? I think you'd rather win, but if you're going to lose, and when Charlotte FC has lost three in a row, you know, that's kind of what we've lost three in a row. And it's really even worse than that. If you track back results for the last 2 months or whatnot, it gets to the point of like, well, shoot, well, I'd rather at least lose 4-3 than, you know, 2-0 and at least get some goals and see our guys do some stuff. And this most recent match against Orlando was just bad. It was hard to watch. The team did nothing. Pep Biel seemed to be playing out of position. Karol Swiderski and Leo Labada, the two highest paid players on the team, started from the bench. And, you know, I didn't really particularly have a problem with that. And we'll hear from Dean on that in a little bit as well. But I just feel like if that's the first that Dean has heard that this team is boring, I'm really glad that I got to say it to him, because he needs to hear it. And he needs to understand that, like, fans are not in for this type of product that's being offered to us right now. I did say I didn't put it on the clip, but after he gave his answer, I said to him, well, Dean, I said, Dean, if that's the first time you've heard it, hopefully it's the last time you'll hear it as well. And we'll see how he takes it and goes from there.
Can you put the table back up there? You mentioned three losses in a row and how it looks worse than that, because it is. And there's only, I think there's three teams in MLS that have not gotten a winning result in its last five matches. So it's New York City, it's New York City FC, it's Charlotte FC, and there's one more as well. If you can go back to that previous view of the standings, you can see the last five in form, Danny. And there it is. It's NYCFC right there with us in the number six spot. And by the way, New York Red Bulls, only one result in their last five. The only reason why Charlotte FC is still lingering around that sixth and fifth spot is because both New York teams are on the struggle bus as well. And if you scroll down that list, you can see it's Chicago Fire, I believe. Still, with the win there.
Yeah.
And so it's only two teams. Only two teams in MLS that have not.
Well, this is just the East, but yeah, yeah.
Only two teams in the East.
This is all that matters to us.
Go to the West. I'm curious to see about the West as well, because I looked at this the other day.
Excellent. This is the full table that I can't, in this view, I can't split it off to
That's totally West, fine. All you have to do is look and see. There's a win, there's a win, there's a win, there's a win, there's a win. Teams in MLS are winning at least once in their last five. I did this research the other day. There's only two teams in MLS that have not gotten a result in the last five matches, which begs the question, is Charlotte FC one of the worst teams in MLS right now?
Right now, yes. I mean, if you're talking about right now and in the current form that we're in, yes.
Heading answer is into yes. This match at home against New England Revolution on Saturday. It's a 4:00 kick on Saturday. You know, I've seen some fans talk about how, you know, this is a winnable game. This is a game that Charlotte FC should win. And right. I'm asking myself, how can you expect Charlotte FC to win any game ahead of a match right now? And you know, I had a conversation with somebody that was very close to the club a few weeks ago, and that person was acting like Charlotte FC was just going to go up to Montreal and get a win. And
was that me? Because I was.
I wanted to look at the person in the face and say, "What planet are you living on right now? Where you're just going to bank three? Look at the schedule and try to bank 3 points somewhere." Everything is a grind for this club right now. And with only three home games remaining, after this Saturday against New England Revolution, only two home games left on the schedule, Danny. This thing has come to a close very quickly.
Yeah, and I'm not the person you were referring to there, but I can joke about it because I was in the same mindset. I was like, oh, we'll beat Montreal. Montreal is that's points for us. Turned out not to be the case. We went down 2-0 and then scraped one back, but it wasn't enough. I thought Atlanta. I went on a national MLS podcast called the Battered Fans Podcast a couple days before the Atlanta match. And I was on there with an Atlanta fan and I was talking so much shit and so much noise. And I was just like, oh, we'll beat Atlanta. Atlanta's trash. Didn't happen. We lost to Atlanta at home, you know, and you mentioned the Red Bulls as being one of the teams that's kind of been on the struggle bus lately. you know, we had a draw with them, that we're, you know, we're the team that they are getting a point back against when they're in a horrible run of form. Dean talked a lot about today about the league's cup break really throwing this team off. And he was asked about chemistry and he defended the chemistry. He doesn't think that the personnel changes that we've undergone recently have changed the chemistry. We can listen to that in a second, but I tend to agree. I mean, we had the run of three road games where we had the Cincinnati, Charlotte, Austin run when everyone was like, you know, we're just hoping to get, you know, maybe two points out of this, and ended up getting 5 points out of that run thanks to Bill Tuoloma's great assist and thanks to Karol Swiderski being unable to finish in Austin. Some big chances. We ended up with two draws there. But you can even go back to my mind, it really goes back to June 29th against Houston. It was that Houston match. That was coincidentally the first match that Ashley Westwood did not play because he was on yellow card suspension. It really goes back to the Houston match where things really started to go wrong for this team, because Houston's not a bad team, but that's a team we should have been able. That was when things started to get really, really boring. And that's when the boringness and the chore of having to watch this team kind of slog really started to fit in. You know, we lost the next match at home against a messy-less Miami. We won at Cincy and things were feeling better. But then ever since, you know, that win against Cincy, you know, on let me check the date on that on July 13th, you know, 9 weeks ago. Obviously there was a break in there, but the team has just been really rough. And ultimately, John, I have to say that you were right, because you were sort of early on this trend that I am now fully bought into. And so I just want to hear, like, I guess I would want to know from you, how do we get out of it? You know, you spotted the problem earlier than most. Do you see a solution on the horizon?
Everything in professional sports comes down to momentum. Do you have a group or an individual moving in the right direction and feeling confident and good about themselves? And you could just tell that when the League's Cup break came and the transfer window, once again, Zoran left it late and new players were trying to get acclimated. And there was 3 weeks leading into the first match after the break and they looked absolutely horrible. It was easy just to tell that the momentum has totally gone. So, I mean, to answer your question succinctly, it's playing well against New England on Saturday. The only way that you can drag yourself out of this mess is to show up on Saturday against New England and put your best foot forward to try to build some momentum, to try to make the supporters rally around you and help them rally around you throughout the final stretch. I think the worst thing that this team could do, could come out, would be to show up on Saturday against New England, score no goals, a 0-0 draw, not going to create any momentum. A 1-1 draw, not going to create any momentum. I think a win creates momentum. It provides belief. It allows Dean to point towards the table and say, look, here we are. We're in a good spot. You just won a match. You just got 3 points. Let's continue to build. Let's start stacking points. Let's start stacking good feelings. Let's feel good about ourselves on the practice field. And let's start to get people to healthy. I think the other thing that this team needs to do to get momentum is stop experimenting. I just told you, there was 3 home games left in this season. There's not a lot of matches left. If you don't have it figured out by now, you're probably never going to have it figured out. So I'll use a turn of phrase that I really enjoy, which is dance with the woman that brought you. Take a look back at your season and say, how did we find success?
Mm-hmm.
And just recreate that and go for it at the end of the season, which means Andrew Privet playing in the lineup, which means Patrick Aujamong as a striker on the field playing. Now, can Patrick Aujamong play with Karol Swiderski? Potentially, yes. If Dean, you feel like Patrick Aujamong is somebody that needs to get into the lineup and you're afraid to take Karol Swiderski out, just put them both on the field, right? Yeah. If you're afraid to bench Tim Ream because he's a high profile player, he's got experience, he's that left set footed center back that you really like, well, let's play 3 at the back.
Yeah.
Let's put Milanda in the middle. Let's put Tim Ream on the left side and let's put Andrew Privet on the right and let's play 3 at the back. I know you haven't done it all season, but put the players on the field that help get you the results. I think Yuri Tavares is another player that played unbelievably well in the beginning of the season, that showed a lot of quality characteristics that I think Dean loves. I think that he was thrown under the bus after the loss at NYCFC earlier in the season. I think it was ridiculous. He got put in the doghouse and he never really got recovered from that. I think that's ridiculous. You got to get him back on the field. And you got to realize that Kerwin Vargas just hasn't played well this season, and he's not somebody that you can count on during this stretch run.
And Yuri scored a go-ahead goal against Austin that should have been a game winner if we had been a little bit able to tighten up at the very end of that match.
Right. So excuse me for this this long-winded response here, but Danny, I just feel like Charlotte FC has totally gotten away from what brought them to this moment this season.
And I love it, Johnny. I love it. And you never have to ask for excuses for a long-winded rant on this show. That's kind of what this show is all about. And it's funny because I'm sitting here listening to you talk, and I'm like, was this guy in the press conference like on a silent connection? Because the stuff you're saying is stuff that Dean spoke to. I want to play a quick soundbite because Tim Ream has come in for – there's a very split camp on Tim Ream in this fan base because there's people who are like, oh – I love Tim Ream. It's so great to finally have a U.S. men's national player on Charlotte FC. I can't believe it. And then, and I'm not in that camp. And no shade against that camp. There's other people who've been like, my point of view on it is like, it wasn't broke. Tim Ream is a solution in search of a problem. Privet and Milanda were a rock solid pairing in the back, and they, you know, they both got contract extensions this year. So why are you suddenly going to send one to the bench with when signing like an older player who's at the end of his career? Let's hear from Dean on Ream. And then I want to talk maybe a little bit more about ways to make that three at the back thing work that you just mentioned. But here's Dino.
We've got players who, you know, obviously Pep Biel's come in. He's new to us, Tim, but Tim's come in as well. But Tim's been with us a while now. I think the chemistry's there with Tim, and Tim's done okay for us. He's been pretty steady. I can't put him at fault for any of the goals that we've conceded. He scored himself. He looks a threat from set pieces. He probably had our best chance again on Wednesday. So, you know, because I have seen, you know, talk about, you know, oh, Tim's come in, it's upset the rhythm. You know, the rhythm wasn't really there during that Leagues Cup break as well.
Johnny, what does it mean when a center back has your two best chances over 180 minutes of soccer?
It means that the only way that you can create offense is when you're lofting balls into the box and one of the center backs tries to get his head on the end of it. I think that to me just is a telltale sign that you play pragmatic Burnley style football, right? And
yeah.
And I said this on the show many months ago that Charlotte FC is Sean Dyche's Burnley squad, a team that's trying to survive in the Premier League, a team that's trying to sit back, a team that doesn't have a lot of options in the final third. That's what this Charlotte FC team is. And that's why, you know, I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth, right? I say don't experiment, and then I say play three at the back, right? What I mean by that is don't experiment with a new player like Pep Biel on the wing. Like, I'm good there. Mm-hmm. Like, we just signed this guy. Let's not play him out of position. Andrew Privet is someone that's been in this squad for a long time. And you could easily throw a three at the back on the field. And here's what I'm saying, Danny, and I want to get your thoughts on this because you said you had thoughts on the three at the back. You can make it five at the back if you want. If you want to play really defensive, just go for it. Play three in the back with two wing backs and make them defensive wing backs. And just play five at the back and have Nathan Byrne and Yuri Yurinen as defensive wingbacks. And there's five at the back. And all of a sudden your defense looks a lot better.
Yeah, I'm of the mindset right now that if they were going to stick the third center back in, I would probably want to bench one, if not maybe both of the fullbacks. I love what Yuri Yurinen and Nathan Byrne bring to this club. We interviewed Byrne just a couple weeks ago. He was a great guy to talk to and get some of his perspective for sure. I've met Yere in person. I love the guy. We love his smile. We love the way he plays with a smile on his lips and all that. But Yere was the only person at fault for the Orlando goal. Like, Yere was 20 yards out of position. allowing Facundo Torres to sneak in on that back post completely unmarked for the first Orlando goal the other night. Yere has subbed out. He tends to be one of the, if there's anyone on the defensive back line who's going to sub out early for fatigue or cramps or whatnot, it usually tends to be Yere. So I would say if I'm going to see a three at the back, I'm going to say pull Yere from the starting 11, and I'm going to say just run with Vargas is pretty good at tracking back. If you're going to start Vargas, allow him to be a wing back. Put Tavares in that spot instead. I think that would be fine as well. I agree with you that Pep Biel should not be a winger. But, yeah, three at the back with Tavares Vargas as the left wing back. Maybe Byrne as the right wing back. And then you still got to get Abada in there somewhere on the up in the attack. But you could also even just have Abada be – Abada could be a winger that tracks back a little more. I wouldn't call him a wing back, but you could even – you could even bench Byrne and Yere just to try and see what that three-man center back setup looks like, because Privet deserves to play. Privet, right now, for what Dean said is that, oh, the chemistry was starting to lack during League's Cup anyway, and I can't fault Tim. Tim's not a fall for the goals, and he's getting our chances. Privet did nothing to earn being benched, and I there's no reason that Privet should feel bad or I wonder what's in that kid's head right now. I'd love to talk to him, because I'm sure he would tell us all the platitudes of that it takes of being a good teammate, because he's a good guy. But like in his heart of hearts, I know that I would be feeling like, what the F has happened where I lost my starting job to, like, you talk about, oh, guys in sports, they shouldn't lose their job to an injury. Well, what about losing your job to just absolutely nothing, to just a ghost that came in and you did nothing wrong?
I hear what you're saying there, and I think Andrew Privet's professional, right? And I think he's dealing with this professionally. I think this happens in soccer where people's jobs get taken by a new signing. I don't think it's about Andrew Privet and him getting benched. I think it's about the club signing somebody. Like, that's really where it happens, where it's like, why did you sign a center back?
Right. And the solution in search of a problem is what I keep calling right. it.
Yeah. And we could do this show, and we could talk about Zoran Crneta's issues in the transfer window. We could talk about watching the same movie transfer window after transfer window. We could do that, but we'll save that for another day because today on the show, I think we're trying to figure out exactly what this team needs to do to catch some momentum again. And you have Dean on attacking momentum, right? Isn't there didn't he address that specifically?
Yeah. So, well, let me play. This is a double soundbite, because the first thing is Dean was asked at today's presser about why did Pep play on the wing? Something you just referenced, Johnny. Why is the experiment when Pep comes in and he sold to us in Zoran's big transfer move as the silky smooth Spanish attacking number 10 we've always wanted? We found our Carlos heel. This is the guy. He's going to unlock the creativity from the middle of the pitch. And then within 2.5 games, all of a sudden we see him lined up out on the wing. And it's like, what the hell happened? Even Pep spoke in Pep's intro presser. If you go back to Decoding the Presser on our YouTube feed, Pep spoke glowingly about how happy he was to be moved back into the center, and how when he was at Olympiacos, it didn't really work that well out on the wing. All of a sudden we go to Orlando. He's on the wing. Here's what Dean said about it. He pretty much defended the move and said that it was not really a problem, but you all tell us what you think.
The thinking was right, why we wanted to try and do it. We wanted to try and get Pep in the pockets. You know, we got on the ball in the first minute, and that's where Kerwin's chance come from. He came into the pocket. Nathan Byrne went on the outside, got a good ball in. You know, the fact that we never got the ball into them quick enough was the biggest problem, rather than where they were playing.
So he's in the pockets, but we never got him the ball. It wasn't the fact that he's completely out of position for that he was promised to be playing. It's that it was the team not getting the ball. What do you think?
I think it was a failed experiment, and I think and I hope that they don't do it again. I think Pep Biel was signed to be a number 10. And if you're not going to play him at number 10, then you sit him on the bench. I just don't think that you can have it both ways, especially considering you sat your designated players
mm-hmm.
in order to get him into that position.
The two highest paid guys on the team, yeah.
And you know, it's worse. He's not part of that. He wants to play through the middle, so I'll just single out Abada. The fact that Abada is struggling, right? He's having a difficult time. Leal Abada is. He's on a poor run of form. And you got to ask yourself, why? You know, there's been nothing but time for Leal Abada to play his best football in Charlotte this year. Yeah, he's had some international breaks. But why is he getting benched as the run out of the season is here? That's a great question.
Did Liel go swimming in the toxic river of sewage in the Seine in Paris when he was over there for the Olympics? Was he in the triathlon and get out and got sick? Is that possibly what happened and we just never heard about it? I'm not sure. But I did follow up. So after Dean said that about Pep and being in the pockets and not getting the ball to him quickly enough and other players too. So I followed up on that, and this is the attacking momentum response that he gave John that you alluded to earlier. Here we go. Why are guys not getting the ball quickly enough? Why does everything take extra touches, and why can this team not flow fluidly on offense?
We're just finding it hard to at the moment. We've got our patterns of play that we know we want to use. We're trying to get people into the pockets, and get turned on the ball. We are having to take a couple of touches too many at times, and you know that's down to, I think, a little bit of confidence. When you reflect on things, you see players, what players are doing in training. And then when they're not replicating that in matches, that can only come down to, you know, two things, which is pressure and confidence.
The confidence is lacking. And we hear a lot about, oh, they look good in training. Oh, Carroll and Abada were connecting so well in training. And then we don't see it out on the pitch. And it's just frustrating. Like, I watch this team. This goes back to the whole boring thing that we referenced earlier, which is like, you watch this team play, and like, when you're granted, you have the bird's eye view of the camera angle and whatnot. But even as fans, even as casual fans who've been watching this game forever, people say, oh, you never played the game. What do you know? I can see passing lanes. I see these like quick one, like the ball's coming to a guy, and you can see the pass he should be making immediately. But when it gets to him, and then what does he do instead? Takes a touch, looks around, takes another touch, looks over to the other side. And it's like, bro, you got to move. You got to go quick. You got to make this thing happen. And I just don't understand why our club seems to have – you could call it an MLS thing. You could say – you know, granted, I'm not expecting MLS clubs to move as quickly and be as instinctual as Premier League clubs that we watch on early Saturday mornings, but – Jesus Christ, man, like, make a quick pass for once in your damn life.
It feels like for some reason the joy is just not out there on the field, right? To your point, Danny, when you're connecting quickly with your teammates, when you're making runs, when you're sending balls into the box, I mean, the reason why people play soccer is because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you could say boring, or you could say not fun. Right? Like, which one is it?
And hashtag synonyms, yeah.
To me, it looks like there's just no fun being had on the pitch. You don't see smiles. You don't see togetherness. You don't see the chemistry. You see nothing of that sort. And it's really difficult. I think, you know, I want to call this out, and maybe I'm wrong about this, right? Maybe I'm wrong about this, and you're the person that's on social media more than me. But Brant Bronico, he makes his 100th appearance for Charlotte FC, which, by the way, is a big deal.
Yeah.
This midweek against Orlando is a 100th appearance. That's a big deal for a club that's only 3 years. We've said club legend on the show. We've asked questions to players about it because that's fun, right?
Yeah.
When you have a squad, somebody's going to separate themselves and become somebody that the fans look to as a reflection of their club. I think Brant Bronico has done that. He started 100 matches, not started. He's made 100 appearances for this club in 3 years, which is really, really impressive. Were his teammates celebrating that? I'm asking. I don't know.
I don't know.
Do you think Tim Ream went up to Brant Bronico and said congratulations on 100 appearances for Charlotte FC? I don't know. I'm asking the questions. Yeah. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you see any social media posts?
We didn't see it. No.
I follow Brant on social, on Instagram. Did you see other social? Did you see any posts from players celebrating Brant's 100th appearance?
The only post I saw was from Charlotte 49ers official account saying, you know, that, you know, it started here and it continues to grow here, like something like along those lines. Yeah, like
and Ashley Westwood put it on his Instagram about Brant's 100th appearance. I'm not sure.
Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. I didn't see that. But
I'm just asking the questions.
One way we'll know is we're recording this. We're 2 days out from the Brant Bronico fundraiser at Hot Fly that I will be attending, raising money for Beds for Kids. I got my tickets. Can't wait to go to that. But remember last year, even when the club was in the midst of a playoff run at the Bronico event, almost the whole team showed up, and it was a real big sign of togetherness. I hope that we see something similar to celebrate Mr. Century Mark, you know, the first for the club to ever do it. And we would hope to see a repeat performance of a lot of guys showing up to represent for Brant's charity, because that's a great way to show support, I think.
Sorry, I'm trying to get this foster dog from not eating my dog's food, and I think I failed as we're recording this podcast, and he's chowing down over there, so hopefully that doesn't cause any issues.
It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, for sure. But, well, I got one more soundbite clip that I want to get to, and we can start to wrap things up, because it really, what matters is what happens next. But we talked about Abada and Carroll being left out of the starting lineup. That was obviously a big talking point before, during, and after the match. Dean talked about why he did that move, and then we can react to that, and then we can wrap this thing up.
Listen, we need more from you, because they haven't played well the last few games. You know, they haven't played to what we know they can, because we've known them for a while. You know, Liao came in and hit the ground running. Direct running at people, getting shots away early. You know, you think about his goal against Cincinnati and Atlanta, and, you know, told him that he needs to get back to that level again. You know, maybe going away with the Olympics, you know, hasn't helped his rhythm. And then, you know, obviously Carroll's been away with Verona, and he's come back and scored a couple of penalties, had a couple of big chances, and I thought played well against Austin in his first game. He's probably searching for something at the moment, and, you know, I just felt it was the right time to take him out of the game.
Carroll is searching for something. I think we're all searching for something. We're searching for points. We're searching for goals. We're searching for excitement from this club. And I hope we get it on a day match, a 4 o'clock kickoff in Bank of America Stadium on what should be a lovely day in Charlotte against a beatable opponent. It's time to get back after it. Dean talked about, you know, he's given more. I didn't clip this off, but he was asked about, have you been more emotional with the team lately? Because, you know, you're kind of an even keel guy as a manager, which most good managers are. But at a certain point, you have to start ripping these guys a new asshole and let them know that it's just completely unacceptable what's been happening. I hope we see it. John, any predictions on, do you think we will see it, or what's your belief about what might actually happen from this on this home stretch of the season?
Well, in the post-game press conference on Wednesday night, I thought it was a good move for Carol Walton to point out in the beginning of her first question that Dean got to the press conference a little later than usual.
Yeah.
And I asked whether he laid into the guys post-game, and I think his answer basically said, yes, I did. So, yeah, I think Dean's going to be emotional about this. He knows how important this time of the season is, and what I expect to see as we are match day minus one, taping the show right now, is I expect for the team to try to put on a show for the fans tomorrow, on Saturday afternoon. I do. And the one other point I want to make is, as you mentioned that this game is 4 o'clock, is, and I wanted to go on record with this and say that MLS and its decision to have 99% of its matches at 7:30 on Saturday night has been an abject failure. And the reaction to this 4 o'clock kick is the reason why. If you talk to supporters, if you talk to fans, if you talk to diehards, if you talk to casuals, everybody's excited for a 4 o'clock afternoon match on a Saturday. Everybody is. And you know why? Is because 7:30 on Saturday nights become tiresome. over and over and over again. The lack of you know, let's just call it, I think the lack of schedule diversity, right? Where if you just do the same thing over and over and over again, it gets kind of boring. Yeah, you fall into your patterns, and yeah, you're there, and all of a sudden you don't want to go anymore. But if there's a Saturday 4 o'clock game, if there's a Sunday 1 p.m. game, if there's a Sunday 6 p.m. game, if there's a Saturday noon game, all of a sudden your weekend looks a little different. You can fit things in. You're not reserving every Saturday night. I think MLS and Apple TV really, really made a huge mistake by thinking that MLS 360 was a product that was going to become NFL Red Zone.
Right. There's only one NFL Red Zone.
You just can't recreate NFL Red Zone.
Right.
And what ended up happening,
because they're different sports.
Correct. Let's just start there. Totally different sports. Most diehard MLS fans like go to matches, go and watch their team. I think MLS 360 is a great program for someone who's sitting in Europe who doesn't have a chance to go to an MLS match. All I'll say about MLS 360 simply is, nice try. Thought the show was fine. Enjoyed the show. But most fans are watching in person, and all the games at the same time make it so you can't watch anything.
Yeah.
Like how nice would it be to go to a Saturday 1 o'clock game and then come home and have some more matches on that evening?
Right. Exactly. And we're going to get to experience that this weekend. It should have happened a lot more times this year. And my thing with MLS 360, if I'm giving them some producing advice, which I think I'm qualified to give, I would say you can get a great effect. You don't need, and if you're not going to be NFL Red Zone where you have eight games going, it's like, oh, let's go here, let's go here, let's go here. But if you have three games, you can have a great wraparound soccer show with three or four matches going at the same time, because you want to take an extended time. You want to be sitting on one for, you know, 7-8 minutes and then go somewhere else. You're not necessarily trying to go, let's go here for 40 seconds, let's go there for 40 seconds. You're not going to get much of out of that as a fan watching, but because you don't get to see trends, you don't get to see an extended bit of possession and how things are developing. So MLS 360 can still bounce back and be a very valuable, worthwhile show if it just tries to do a little bit less. I think that, and then that opens up the ability to schedule way more. And you can have instead of like 1.5 windows that you get with the current 360 setup, you can have 3 to 4 windows. You can have the noon to 2:30 window. You can have the 3 to 5:30 window. You can have the 6 to 8:30 window and the 9 to 11:30 window, like, and you just get much more value. Now, it might be tough for the production crews and the people, you know, on the show that are then having to work for hours and hours and hours, but just bring some more people in, you know, get a rotating cast of characters and things like that. I just think that it's silly to try to treat soccer like gridiron football, which gridiron football is very much based on, like, you know, it's an event-based where, like, teams move the ball down the field and have big plays to get touchdowns. Soccer is more of a sport where, you know, you need to watch things develop and see as they go. So, Johnny, I love that one of the things you've done this year, in addition to being a great fan of Charlotte FC and podcaster for Charlotte FC, is you really stepped up the efforts to help dogs in this city, in Charlotte, foster dogs, find homes, and that sometimes – these missions conflict. And as we can see, as we start to wrap up this episode, as we hear, you've got a foster in there who is now coming on the screen, who is making their voice heard and refuses to go silently into the night here, and barking along with some of the great points that you've been making and hopefully a few of the things I've said as well. And it's a great effort, and I really applaud it and laud it.
Yeah, it's funny. He's unplugged my microphone, so I'm coming back in here hot. This is Nolan.
What up, Nolan?
Yeah, Nolan's acting a little crazy this morning, but he's hanging out here with me now. And by the way, your thoughts on MLS 360 are fantastic, and you're way overqualified. In fact, if I was Apple, I would consider hiring you to produce on MLS on Apple TV, considering You're damn good at what you do when it comes to television production. And you know, one thing I wanted to just the last thing I'll say about that is I think it would be really cool to designate. You talk about four or five games, right? Every week, it's like, are you the MLS 360 featured match or are you not? Right? Let's just let's call it 8 p.m. on Saturday nights. There's going to be four games that are the MLS 360 featured matches. And those four games, they're going to sit in the studio. They're going to watch all four games. And the global audience can be there enjoying MLS 360. And if the four games are boring, if it's not really working out, then you can drop in some highlights from earlier in the day. Talk about some things that happened before the MLS 360 featured matches. But anyway, yeah, this is Nolan. If you go to the Charlotte SPCA website, you can see Nolan's profile. He's a 4 month old. He is a cattle dog mix, maybe a little Chihuahua in him as well. He's a puppy. He's available for adoption. So if you're watching, he is a good boy. Working on potty training in the house for sure. That's what we're working on. But other than that, he gets along with Finn really well. Finn's around here too. I think Finn's starting to get a little jealous having a puppy in the house, Danny.
Well, I mean, you and your wife, Rachel, have just really stepped up your efforts here in 2024. Something you started a couple years ago, but like this year, you've really gotten after it. And the dogs of this city are better off for it for sure.
I appreciate you saying that. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you on Saturday for the match. I'm looking forward to seeing some fans as well in town. And, you know, I think I would listen back to this episode and think that we were pretty, pretty fair. I think, you know, maybe I called out the local media a little bit too hard in the beginning of the show. But I think I think that's fair. I think it's just the reality of the situation is that it's so difficult to cover local sports. Budgets are small. Sports reporters are doing things all themselves, and they have to make decisions based on what gets clicks. And of course, NFL football is going to get more clicks than MLS. But the fact that I legitimately feel a little bit of responsibility to sit down here with you, get on this microphone, and have a real conversation about the club, because there's not many independent outlets out there that are doing that. And I'm happy to be here with you doing that. I'm super proud of you for going on that press conference this morning and asking a difficult question, and we'll see how things roll. Do you have a prediction for Saturday and a prediction for the run-in? Like, what, sitting here today talking about having to pick up momentum, do you think Charlotte FC can pick up some momentum and finish the season strong? Do you think it's going to happen? Do you have at least a glimmer of hope?
I do have hope, and I think the schedule, despite the fact that we lost at Montreal recently, and despite the fact that we have to go to Miami still, we have after this home match against New England, we got a match against Miami next on the docket right after that on September 28th. But we have Chicago home, we have Montreal at home again, and we have DC United to close out the season. Three teams below us in the standings, and four if you count New England. So at this point, I'd have to think that with Charlotte currently sitting on 38 points, I think it's reasonable to assume we get to 43 range and go from there. Five games left. Can we get 5 points out of five games, put ourselves in a playoff position, and then let the chips fall where they may? There's no really, if we don't get to that top four, which I don't think we will anymore, I think beating Orlando and beating Montreal were essential to getting up to that top four. I don't think we'll get there. So it's really kind of just a crapshoot of who we get matched up, whether we get matched up against in a first round series against Columbus or Cincinnati. Hopefully we don't slip to that 8-9 game and then have to win a game for the right to go play Miami, because Miami is just really, really good this year, even without Messi. There's no strategical positioning of where we're trying to get to. We're just trying to get in the playoffs at this point. And then, you know, we've actually matched up pretty well against Cincinnati and Columbus this year. So who knows what it will be. But I say we get 5 points out of these five games somewhere, maybe more, but 43, 44 points, I think, is where we end up, which would be, you know, not a bad little season for Dean Smith's inaugural. We need to go get him some players. And that discussion can happen on a future episode as to whether the player acquisition is really where it needs to be. Maybe Zoran will come on the show again. We've had him on before. We'd love to have Zoran come in the show and we just get, you know, maybe roast him, maybe give him a letter grade on the year and see if he wants to sit with us and take it to the face like that. Who knows?
I'm more than happy to interview Zoran on the show again, but this time he needs to come into our environment.
Exactly.
We were in his environment last time. Now we want you coming to ours. Maybe have a couple beers, Zoran, and chat with us about just football at large and Trout FC and everything else out there. And then, you know, as we wrap things up, I just did want to officially put this out there on the show, Danny. Some personal news for me. I have a new job. I'm starting with NASCAR on Monday, the 23rd. So as this season continues to roll on towards the finish line, I'm joining NASCAR to manage its podcast network. And obviously it's NASCAR playoff times right now. So things are going to get busy. We're not only going to have MLS playoffs, we're going to have NASCAR playoffs for the next couple months. And that's going to be a huge focus of mine. So make sure you check out some NASCAR podcasts. If you are a NASCAR fan, I know one of our TIFOs is a massive NASCAR fan. Shout out to Reverend Burrell, somebody that knows the sport really well. Somebody that I'm going to talk to about the sport. So you can continue. You can count on this show to continue throughout the rest of the regular season and the playoffs. I'll try my best to make myself available. But of course, when you start something new, you got to prioritize that. So I'm looking forward to hitting the ground running on Monday with NASCAR and covering what should be some really fun playoffs.
Yeah, John, I'm so happy and proud of you back in the media sphere after a little bit of a break. You know, just couldn't stay away. We dragged you back into the professional media world. I know you were crushing it in your role over at Hotfly. That was a great for a season for you. And now you're back in the audio producing world, which is, you know, where you first earned your chops. So great to have you back in the media world. Thanks to all the fans of this show who've been hitting us up saying, oh, where's the episodes? Where's the episodes? We got a lot going on and you know, we lost our ability to, we could talk more someday about, you know, how we had the partnership on this show that kind of went away for various reasons. But when
now that I've left Hotfly as my full-time job, I'm kind of over it, to be honest with you. Like there was a while there where I was pretty pissed off about it, but you know, patience and paid off for us, Danny, because I think we're both in pretty good spots. You've been good. You've been in a good spot though this whole time. You've been producing for ESPN as long as we've done this show. You've been producing for ESPN, which is pretty good.
Yeah, haven't got fired yet, but I would just say that, you know, like our content in the second half of the season has not been as regular in the first half, but hopefully the quality is still there, and that when we are able to drop stuff for the people to listen to, hopefully it's well received. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, it's the end of the episode. And it's great to see everybody. It's great to talk to everybody. It's great to see you, Danny. I'll see you on Saturday at the match. Sir. Anybody else who's at the match on Saturday, look forward to seeing you there as well. And then you mentioned it, Beds for Kids. Brant Bronico's foundation, his fundraiser is Sunday at Hotfly. And just one major update on that for this Sunday is last year it was free to attend. And you had the opportunity to donate to the cause. This year, it's a ticketed event with 100% of those proceeds going to Beds for Kids. So this is an event where if you're going to show up, you're going to donate. You can't just show up and hang out and meet Brand and have a good time. The whole point is to show up and donate. So make sure you go. You can go to Brant Bronico's Instagram. You can go to Hotfly's Instagram. And you can find where to find tickets to Sunday's event. And of course, you can buy tickets at the door if you want to. The mayor, I've had it. It's a new IPA. Just got canned this week. I've had it. It tastes great. And everybody's going to get to have it this weekend at Hotfly.
Hell yeah. Can't wait. I got my tickets. I might even have an extra ticket. Feel free to hit me up and say, hey, Brams, you got a ticket for me? The answer may be yes.
Danny, you just, he's always, whether it's a home game, whether it's a road game, whether it's a Brant Bronico fundraiser, Danny's always got an extra. Make sure you hit him up. It's Charlotte Soccer Show. I'm John Hayes. He's Danny Brams. And as always,
it's for the crown, baby.